We're doing the Sefer HaMidot. We're up to page Shin Chaf. And the Magen Midovna is tackling one of the most difficult traits, the trait of arrogance, haughtiness. It's one of those traits which the trait itself precludes getting cured. You come tell a guy he's arrogant and he's going to say, no, I'm not, I'm super modest. Come on. So it's one of the difficult traits for every person to overcome. And it's one of the key traits which, if a person does succeed in conquering, so it opens the doors to many, many other traits. Because arrogance stands in the way of growth. Arrogance is when a person deceives themselves. And when we deceive ourselves, so we don't allow ourselves to recognize who we are and where we need to grow. Because we're too busy deceiving ourselves and the rest of the world that we're really okay. And this pertains to many aspects of life. It's something which we can work on, but we have to know that we always have to work on it. It's a lifelong task. So he's really dedicated a lot of chapters to this subject, and now he continues in the 9th chapter and said, "Od mazol tufal machalat agava." We're on page Shin Chaf. Another cure, another way to heal this illness of arrogance, to always take note, to think about those that collapsed, that crumbled. 2-3 months ago, I had the opportunity to broker a deal, not for profit, to broker a deal between a philanthropist and someone in need. The person was about to be repossessed, and he needed a loan in order to stay afloat and restructure his business. And he wanted me to introduce him to this guy who I happened to know. We had been neighbors for a period. So I was there, and during the meeting, this guy made an interesting comment. He said, you know, it takes a lot of work to build something up. And as wealthy as a person is, and as successful as a person is, you'd be surprised how quickly a person can crumble. And it struck me, here's a guy that owns malls in Manhattan and in Europe, and you know, you'd think he'd feel like he's sitting safe because, you know, he owns properties, the properties and the rent and the different places where he's invested. It seems almost inevitable that he'd keep going up. And yet here he is declaring, you know, you got to beware that in life, people can crumble so quickly and they're unaware of how fast you can go down. So he says, this is what the Magen Midovna says, if you look around and you look at the people who actually fell, so then that can be a wake-up call for a person to check his arrogance. Kimamagos, the verse says, Ki lo leolam chosen. Strength is not eternal. Vimnezo ledovado, etc. It's interesting. Well, if we recognize that our strength is not eternal, if we look around and see other people who were at least as successful as us and yet fell, so that keeps us in check. Because then we don't take confidence. We don't.
You can lose even you are not arrogant.
That's for sure. But if we want to conquer our own arrogance, then that's one way in which we can conquer it. As tireh chulshat adam v'rifyon eichuto. Then you will recognize the human weakness, the frailty of a person's essence, ki hurak kamotzi soar migoren, because a person is but the chaff that's being shaken out of the grain, uchashan maruba, and we are but smoke coming out of a stack. Vaidia zot lo nifleti mimcha v'lo rechokai, and in truth, this recognition that a mere mortal is passing, is fleeting, even our strength and our success is passing and fleeting, this really isn't beyond us. In truth, it's something that's very near to our hearts. We're very aware of it. If you only look around, you see it. The fact that a person gets elevated is but coincidence. Whereas a person's getting knocked down is a constant in life. It is part of nature. meaning nature has a force pulling you down. You could look at the physical world. There's gravity. In order to be propelled upwards, so then that's something which can happen for a time. But you're constantly fighting a force that's drawing you down. We could put this in other words. When I entered yeshiva, so a relative of mine was telling me why he wasn't sure it was a good idea to continue in yeshiva. So I wasn't sure I was going to stay in yeshiva either. I came on a trial basis. On a lot of levels, my experience in yeshiva was a trial basis. When I came to yeshiva, it was like with a question mark about all of Judaism, not just about staying in yeshiva. So this relative said to me, he said, you know, I don't believe you'll succeed in yeshiva, and I'll tell you why. So I was interested, why? He says, look, every morning you wake up, you get out of bed. Tell me, do you have thoughts maybe you should leave yeshiva? Do you have thoughts maybe there's a better world out there? I said, for sure. He said, so you wake up every morning, there's the Yetzer Hara, your evil inclination is standing there ready and strong, and you have to stand up and put on your boxing gloves and take him on, right? You're in a spiritual sense, in a philosophical sense, meaning you start your day on a steady basis with a certain fight because you always have that draw, that attraction, that inner thought, hey, maybe I should really leave all this behind and leave yeshiva, and we won't even add, but he wasn't aware that to my mind there was also a question about all of Judaism at the time. So he says to me, I understand, this was my first year in yeshiva, he says to me, I understand so far you've been in yeshiva for a month or two, that you've been successful fighting this inclination. But you know what? Everyone has those mornings when they get out of bed and they just don't have strength. And that inclination, he never has those mornings. Every morning you wake up, he's strong, he's there. So it's only a matter of time till he wins. And that sentence struck me so powerfully that years later, I was on a date, and this girl, graduate of Mahon Meir, Mahon Ora, this girl is telling me, where do you see yourself in 10, 20 years? Are you going to continue learning Torah? And I said, gee, I don't know, you got to understand. Every morning I get out of bed, there's this Yetzer Hara standing right there. And I'm quoting this relative there. I said, you know, so far I've made it, I'm still here. But you're asking me about tomorrow? Tomorrow's going to be a new fight. You're asking me about 10, 20 years? I have no idea. So she was a good Jewish girl. She dumped me on the spot. That's it. Left me in the dust. She said, you know, good luck. But that scared her off. I didn't mean to scare her off. I was being honest. So the Magen Divna says, if you look at the world, you see that nature has a way of drawing down. And it requires a lot of strength to be propelled upward. It requires an effort. And if you only notice that around you, so that can humble a person, because we take pride in our achievements. We take pride in things that we feel, look at me, look at what I've accomplished. And if you only look around and recognize, hey, there's other people who accomplished the same thing, and yet they fell from their accomplishments, so then that's humbling. Then we realize, okay, so far so good, but who knows where I'll be tomorrow. The world has already witnessed people who were so brazen, they had such arrogance, and they thought they were so brilliant. And in a matter of moments, they were consumed. They became like hay before fire. I'll give you an example. I think most of you are too young to remember this, but some of you might remember the Republican Revolution in Congress during the Clinton era. There was a man named Newt Gingrich. He had a 100-day plan. And he was coming to conquer Congress. And everyone was sure he would be the next president. And he had such a momentum going into Congress. and he was talking so nasty. Everywhere you went, people were confident, that's it, things were going to change, and the Republicans were taking over. And a few months passed, and I think his breaking point was during the Rabin funeral, when Clinton was flying to the Rabin funeral, and he tried to talk to Clinton about politics, and Clinton basically brushed him off, and the media got wind of it, and the media sided with Clinton. And the media said, look at what a bum this Gingrich is. Even on his way to a funeral, he has to talk politics. And very quickly, I remember from a month earlier, where everyone was talking about Gingrich, I remember hearing, in a matter of months, they spoke about his new book that couldn't sell, and they didn't give it that courtesy. They said, do you know where your toilet paper is coming from next month? Newt Gingrich's book is being recycled into toilet paper. That was the headlines. You couldn't knock the guy lower. No one's buying his book, and though it's costing him too much to store it in warehouses, announcing.
He got caught.
What?
He got caught in a car doing some illicit acts that we don't have to name. But he's no angel.
I'm not saying he's an angel.
He also lost the election.
Oh, that's not even
2012.
That was later, right?
No, this is the good old
90s. So,
I remember the presidents in the 90s. I was five.
Well, I remember...
at any rate...
Billy J.
So, I'm just saying, he was unraveled in a matter of a week. Finished. Here's a guy that shoots up and fizzles. Boom.
לכן אל תאמין לדברי יצחק שיבטיחך להגביה כנשר כינך. So don't believe your desire that keeps promising you that you're going to set your nest up on the highest branch like the eagle, ותשכיל ותצליח במעשיך, and you're going to be so successful. כי אם תדאג פן עוד מעט, והורד שאול גונך מיד נבליך תחתיך יוצר עמה ומחסיך תוליה. Person should really think for a minute. Who knows how soon he's going to be in the grave. תן תודה ללוקים והכנה ופך. A person who thinks and realizes how finite life is, how quickly things pass, gives thanks to his creator and humbles himself. אז תהיה מכובד ומוצחן בין אלוקים ואדם. And when a person works with that vantage point, where he doesn't take his strength for granted, then a person is honored and liked by God and humanity. No one likes a person who's arrogant. And when a person can recognize his faults and be real about his limitations, that's when people enjoy his company. Yeah.
How come most politicians are arrogant then? The ones that get to win.
That's a good question. That deserves a long answer. But let me ask you a different question. How many real friends do they have?
Probably none.
So that's, I'm saying, we play on two playing fields. Meaning there's the confidence people are willing to put in you that you'll succeed, and there's the way the media is going to portray you, and then there's the real person. And the media portrayal convinces us of a lot of things. But it's not. I don't think that's a real reflection of where a person stands by other people. Or the fact that a politician gets elected doesn't mean that anyone would want to be his friend. They want to be his friend to get the benefits of being his friend. But it's not a reflection of the way people view him on a personal level. If you want an example of someone who was very well liked, that was Barbara Bush. George Bush's wife was very well liked, and she wasn't arrogant at all. She isn't. I mean, she's a very modest lady, very unassuming, and very well liked. Very well liked, I mean, by her friends and by people at large. Okay, so we started the ninth chapter.